Laker fans, thank you very, very much for tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Quick heads up on everything we got going on tonight. Stu Lance, Lakers TV color commentator on Spectrum Sportsnet. Obviously been color commentator for the Lakers since 1987. He'll come on in the 8 o'clock hour. Chris McGee, Lakers pre and post for Spectrum Sportsnet. He'll come on at 7:30. Anthony Slater in the 8 o'clock hour. He covers the NBA and the Lakers for The Athletic. So we got a packed show here. I don't got time to mess around. We got a lot of stuff to take care of. Obviously, for the Los Angeles Lakers, yesterday, a key moment in this postseason, a very, very important moment for the Los Angeles Lakers yesterday to go up 2-0. It's the Denver Nuggets. You're trying to get to the NBA Finals. I could sit here and list out all the reasons why yesterday was an important win for the Lakers, but I want to go a little bit deeper because it wasn't just about the W yesterday. What that shot meant for Anthony Davis, I thought was the most important thing that we're going to walk away from. Last night was very, very important for AD. You know, all great players have a defining moment, something that takes them to another level. Anthony Davis, we spent a lot of time talking about, all right, what does his stats look like? AD's got to take his game to another level once we get to the postseason. Anthony Davis has never been to the Western Conference Finals. So all this is new. Anthony Davis, in my opinion, needed that moment. Now listen, it doesn't mean anything unless you win the next two games or you get two more wins and you end up in the NBA Finals and then, of course, take care of business in the NBA Finals. But Anthony Davis needed a situation where he delivered in a big time moment. One day in the near future, this is going to be Anthony Davis's team. One day in the near future, all the focus is going to be on AD. It's not there yet, but that day is coming. What I'm referring to there, obviously we know the predicament with this Los Angeles Lakers team. This is LeBron's team until LeBron James either were a couple years from now and just father time eventually takes over. I mean, I think LeBron every single game, every single year, you're like, all right, LeBron's going to slow down, but he looks even better. I mean, I was making a case for the past couple of weeks, how can anybody other than LeBron James be the most valuable player? We've had that conversation before. But for Anthony Davis, the quicker AD takes over, the better. What LeBron is doing is absolutely unbelievable, but at some point it's going to come to an end. AD is just 27 years old and is expected to be a franchise player in you know, obviously a small window here. This is going to be his franchise. I just think last night was such an important moment for AD. If LeBron, let's just use this as an example, takes that final shot last night and he hits a buzzer beater, we all say, all right, you know what? LeBron did it again. We talk about how great LeBron is. We look back at all the other times he's delivered in the clutch. But this is different for Anthony Davis. We don't have moments where this happened for AD. We can't look back and say, do you remember when AD did this in the Western Conference Finals? Do you remember when Anthony Davis delivered in a big-time moment where everybody's watching and everybody the next day, the only person they're talking about is Anthony Davis? I'm not talking regular season. I'm not talking about putting up 50 and 20 or 40 and 22 like we've seen Anthony Davis do in the past. I'm talking about in the postseason where the lights are the brightest. This one is different for Anthony Davis. This is all, by the way, uncharted territory when it comes to AD, because we haven't seen him in these predicaments or these positions before. I thought it was more than just a buzzer beater. I thought it was a defining moment for the next Laker great. And it happened in the Western Conference Finals in a critical swing game. You know, don't forget the type of game that this happened in. This wasn't your, okay, it's game one of or game two of the first round. This wasn't just a regular season game. Game number 42 doesn't get any bigger than this moment in this situation. Do you know what last night's game meant? Last night's game, in my opinion, one of two things were going to happen last night. Either we're going to have a series, or the Lakers going up 2-0 against the Denver Nuggets. You tell me how the Denver Nuggets come back from this. And a little bit later in the show, I'll kind of talk about it from the Nuggets' perspective, how devastating yesterday's game was. But I just can't emphasize enough how happy I am that not only did the Lakers win that game, but it was Anthony Davis in the clutch that got the ball with 2.1 seconds left, that didn't hesitate when he got the ball, hit the three. Lakers win 105-103. I love the moment right after, too, where he does mouth the word Kobe and jumps into the arms of his teammates. I love the way LeBron James embraced Anthony Davis in that moment. It was a special moment. And when you look back, there are certain moments in Lakers playoff history that come to mind right away. If I told Laker fans out there, give me a playoff moment in Lakers history that was special to you, I can name off five of them right now. I'm sure there are fans who have been watching the Lakers for the past 50, 60 years would go back to the Jerry West shot against the New York Knicks in the finals where it's a 60-foot shot to take the game into overtime. I don't have to sit here and tell everybody about Big Shot Rob in 2002 hitting that Lakers down three, hits the three off the Vlade Divac tip to give the Lakers the win back in 2002. There's moments like this in Lakers playoff history. And that's part of the other reason why I thought this was so special for Anthony Davis. His first year with the Los Angeles Lakers, a lot of people depending on Anthony Davis to be the present, but to also be the future. You know, it's you got certain players that you know have the potential to be greats. But it depends how you define a great. There might be greats that are with other franchises that never win at all. I could go down the list, and this is no disrespect to any of these players. Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, John Stockton, Reggie Miller. I could go down the list of all these great players that never won at all. But when you're wearing a Los Angeles Lakers jersey, that stigma is not accepted. You can't. If you're Anthony Davis and you come to the Los Angeles Lakers, the expectation is one thing, just one thing. It's very, very simple. AD, you have to bring at least a championship to the Los Angeles Lakers. That's just the territory. That's the expectation that Laker fans have. You have 16 NBA championships in your franchise history. Only one team has more than you. The expectations for the Lakers is in order to be great, you have to have these defining moments to be great. You have to deliver in those moments. And, of course, you have to win an NBA championship. LeBron James, whatever he does the rest of his career, and whatever happens while he's wearing the purple and gold the rest of the way, his career is established. Don't get me wrong. Laker fans were always going to look. Did LeBron get one with the Los Angeles Lakers or did he not? Of course, that's very important to Laker fans. But for LeBron's legacy, I mean, LeBron's going to go down as some people are going to say he's top three all time. Some will say he's the greatest all time. Others will put him on their top five list. It's really irrelevant, and it's just what you prefer and what style of basketball that you liked, or you were a Jordan guy, or you were a Kobe guy, or you were a Magic guy, or Wilt, or Kareem, or whatever the case is. LeBron really doesn't have anything left to prove. Now, if LeBron wins one with the Lakers and he gets his fourth NBA championship and he's finals MVP and he does it with three separate teams, the first time that's ever happened in the NBA's history, okay, that's a different conversation. Maybe that changes your view on LeBron James. But for Anthony Davis, it's an important time for him. 27-year-old. It's a critical stage in his career because Anthony Davis, his goal wasn't to come to the Lakers and do what he was doing in New Orleans. That's why he left New Orleans. It was to deliver in moments like this, in this type of a stage, this type of an environment. I always look back and, you know, one of the things, and this, I guess, is part of just the whole being a Los Angeles Laker fan, and we are incredibly spoiled, incredibly spoiled. Trust me, some of my topics later is, who do you want to play in the finals? You know, I mean, this is some of the conversations you have when you're a Laker fan, but one of the things that I think is just so special about Anthony Davis, and this is my hope for AD. He came to the Los Angeles Lakers. He knows the pressure that comes with it. He's ready in those type of moments. It's another thing that I love. You see any hesitation in that shot yesterday? 2.1 seconds left. You see Anthony Davis second-guessing anything right there. You see him hit anything other than nylon when he took that three-point shot. It's I think, for me personally, it's a critical moment for Anthony Davis. And who knows? Maybe this takes AD's game, who he's been unbelievable in this Denver series, and he's delivered in the postseason so far, all of it with, you know, the caveat is you still got to get two more against Denver, and then you got to go figure out who's going to be in the Eastern Conference, who's going to come out of the East and go win an NBA championship. But I say all that because you want so bad for Anthony Davis to be a great. You want so bad for Anthony Davis to be with this franchise for the next 5 to 10 years and have an opportunity to one day have his jersey retired, to one day have a championship or two or three or whatever the case is. You want to depend on the greats and big-time moments. AD said, give me the damn ball yesterday. Let me take this 22-footer, and let me give the Lakers a 2-0 lead in the series. That's a big-time moment at a big-time predicament in not just that game, but I thought for Anthony Davis's career. And you know the beauty with all that too, AD said that was the biggest play of his career. Of course it was. Of course it was. I don't question that for one second. I don't question it. I love me some LeBron James, but I've seen LeBron hit game winners before. I've seen LeBron accomplish all these things in the past. When you got Anthony Davis at age 27, you want him to start taking that over. Because at some point, LeBron James, maybe that's 3 years from now, maybe it's 5 years from now, maybe it's 2 years from now, at some point, this is going to become Anthony Davis's team and his franchise. Big-time moment for Anthony Davis yesterday. Okay, when we come back, I told you, we got a packed show here. Chris McGee, Lakers pre and post for Spectrum Sports Tonight, is coming up at 7:30. Stu Lance coming up at 8. Anthony Slater, who covers the NBA and the Lakers for The Athletic, he's coming up at 8:30. When we come back, I want to look at this from the Denver Nuggets perspective. How devastating was that loss if you're the Denver Nuggets? You want to be a part of Lakers Talk, 877-710-ESPN. You could hit us up. We'll talk about yesterday's game. We'll talk about some of the expectations coming up for Game 3. Stay right here. I'm Alan Sliwa, and this is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
710 ESPN.
Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa is on.
I just think this contribution that the Lakers are getting from Alex Caruso and Rajon Rondo are so big.
Rondo's got it ahead to Caruso. Caruso one-on-one. He dunked it right on top of Jeremy Grant, and the Laker bench is going nuts.
Championship players. What I'm referring to there is they don't have to show up and get the ball and take 20 shots to prove that they had a good game or a bad game. They could do a lot of those small things, a lot of those little things.
Lakers Talk continues.
Here's Alan Sliwa.
All right, LA, as always, thank you very much for tuning in. 877-710-ESPN. Do you agree with me, by the way? That's a defining moment for Anthony Davis. That shot yesterday was more than just a buzzer beater. It was more than just taking a 2-0 lead against the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. And I cannot, for me to even try to underplay that, to make it not even sound like it was that big of a deal, I definitely think that's more than just a buzzer beater for Anthony Davis. 877-710-ESPN if you want to hit on that topic. Okay, real quick, I want to go back here. Can you imagine what that shot did to the Denver Nuggets? Just let's try to put ourselves in the Denver Nuggets' shoes for just a couple minutes here. Just a couple minutes here. I don't want to spend too much time on this. But think about it. Here you are. you're down 1-0 to the Los Angeles Lakers, and you're down 16 points in the third quarter. You find a way to cut it down to 10, and you start gaining some confidence. Third quarter, you got John and MT, they're calling the game. Lakers go up 16. All of a sudden, you know, this is something John and MT always do during the broadcast. Well, if Denver can get it down to around single digits by this point, that's their goal. Denver gets it down to 10. And then next thing you know, they cut it down all the way to 6. And they're probably thinking in their head. You got guys like Jamal Murray. I'm sure Mike Malone is barking on the sideline saying, fellas, we got this. We've been in this situation before. We got a shot here. Confidence is starting to grow for the Denver Nuggets. Then they cut it down to 2. After that, Lakers come back. Anthony Davis with about 2 minutes left, if you guys remember this, hits the three. Where he hit the buzzer beater, he hit a big-time three to put the Lakers up 8. I think he turned over to Denver's bench for a quick second. Probably said, guys, that's it. Game over. Go home. Lakers go back up by 8, but then Denver climbs back over the 2 minutes, get to the free throw line. Jokic was amazing in that fourth quarter. They come all the way back to actually take the lead. They got a chance to tie the series one game apiece with the Los Angeles Lakers. They're up 1 point. Then they come back out, have actually a pretty damn good defensive stance. I know Caruso missed that wide open shot, but hey, if I'm the Denver Nuggets, I'm doing the same thing. AD, LeBron, stop those two from shooting. If KCP, Danny Green, Alex Caruso, Rajon Rondo, go down the list of all these other Laker players, if any of those guys hit a big time shot, you kind of say, all right, well, what the hell he wants to do? We can only do so much. 2.1 seconds left. You got Jamal Murray blocks the shot on Danny Green. Now all the Nuggets have to do is get one stop, and they tie the freaking series with the Lakers. Lakers will have blown a 16-point lead. They'll have blown an opportunity to take complete advantage of this series. What ends up happening? AD gets the ball, hits a three. I don't know what the hell Plumlee was doing. Jeremy Grant didn't move off LeBron James. Jokic did everything he can to get on Anthony Davis. AD hit the shot. If you're the Denver Nuggets, how crushing was that loss yesterday? I mean, that had to be so deflating for the Denver Nuggets. Now, listen, let me give the Nuggets a little bit of credit here. They've been a team that we saw them do this against the we saw them do this against Utah in the first round. Of course, we saw them do it against the Clippers. I mean, Clippers, I became the biggest Denver Nuggets fan you could have even in Denver. Count everybody in Denver. All of a sudden, I became the biggest Nuggets fan. We saw them do this against three games in a row. We saw them do it against Clippers. We obviously saw them do it against the Utah Jazz. I guess I'm just not expecting this Denver team can do it against the Lakers. Too many vets on this Lakers team. This is a team that understands what they're doing. They understand the moment. Hell, they understand that they don't have to play Milwaukee, Toronto, or the Clippers to win an NBA championship. Imagine if somebody said that to you before the season started. I mean, it's tailor-made for the Los Angeles Lakers. So I give Denver credit for always fighting back, but now they have to win 4 of the next 5 games if they want to move on to the finals. Laker fans, I don't think this is breaking news. That's not happening. You are not beating the Los Angeles Lakers 4 of the next 5 games. And I'm not saying that the Denver Nuggets are going to give up. I'm not saying that the Los Angeles Lakers don't have to play better. They do. But that game yesterday I thought was monumental. All right, let me take a couple phone calls. If you're out on the road right now and you want to talk Lakers basketball with myself, 877-710-ESPN. Let me start off with Rich in Sherman Oaks. Rich, I appreciate you calling in, bud.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I kind of wanted to look at things in the macro sense in terms of what you were talking about, of what a devastating loss this is for Denver. I was watching the game last night, and I'm a big NBA fan. I'm 45 years old, loved the league for about 35, almost 40 years. I root for the Lakers casually, but I'm not a Laker homer. But I watched that game last night, and I came away thinking that is about as devastating of a game two loss that puts you down 0-2 that I can actually ever remember, because LeBron did not have a sharp fourth quarter. We probably saw the greatest 3-minute stretch out of Nikola Jokic's career. The fact that Denver doesn't get the benefit of going home, they don't get two games back in Denver with the altitude and the fans, and even blowing a game like this, teams typically have a bounce back in terms of they're playing with more energy, more ferocity, and then you got the crowd behind you. So they don't have the benefit of that. And to make matters worse for Denver, you give Anthony Davis a moment like that in his career where I agree with what you said earlier. If LeBron had been the one to hit the shot, you know, or one of the role players, or just, Caruso hit that shot at the top
adds,
of the key.
Right, it adds to LeBron's legacy, but this is big for ADs.
But for AD to have a moment like that, I just look at all the things that line up for Denver, and I just wanted to call in and talk about that because you set the table that you were going to talk about that. With all the things that is facing Denver moving forward from this loss, I mean, outside of somebody getting hurt, which God forbid, you never want to see that happen, but I can't imagine a more devastating loss for a team because the Lakers did a lot of things wrong in that game in the fourth quarter,
well, Rich,
and they got out of it with a win.
Well, Rich, it's interesting, and I appreciate you calling. And by the way, great points, and you added some great content content to the show, so thank you for calling. But as I go into it, one of the other points I was going to make, and Rich, you started making it for me, Lakers got to play better. So that was one of those games for Denver where that's your chance to steal the game. Denver had the game. You know, I obviously, doing the post-game shows, I'm preparing to talk about how frustrated I am in that second half by the Los Angeles Lakers. No, listen, I know, I get it. I've seen this picture before. We've talked about Denver coming back from down 16 before. We saw it against the Clippers, but not against the Lakers, right? Denver had the game. And you're not going to have another game this series where the Lakers have 24 turnovers. Lakers got lucky last night. Let me say that. And sometimes you need luck. Actually, not sometimes. A lot of times you need luck. You don't have to be the best team. Sometimes you got to be the healthiest, the hottest, and you need a little luck to fall your way. And we've seen this before with some of these other Laker playoff games. I mentioned the Robert Horry shot. Derek Fisher with a .4. Remember that game, Meta World Peace against the Phoenix Suns back in 2010? I want to say it was Game 5 versus the Suns. Rebound off a Kobe miss. I think it was even a Kobe air ball. Sometimes you need luck. And the Lakers will take that luck because that's part of also that pedigree and that that blueprint, I guess you can say, to winning an NBA championship. But with all that in mind, Denver, if you're looking back on it and you're saying to yourself, we had that game and we couldn't play defense for 2.1 seconds, I will say this, and I like when, you know, we get somebody to call in like Rich did, and he's more of a casual fan, not exactly a Laker home or anything. I like when people are objective that way and just give me their thought process, their analysis, I guess you could say, of the game. But it doesn't get any more devastating than that if you're the Denver Nuggets. And if you're the Lakers, like I said, there are times that I feel like the Lakers get bored, and that's dangerous. You don't want to prolong a series. Anything can happen. A team can get hot. Injuries can happen. Finish off the Nuggets. These next two games, I mean, this game tomorrow against the Nuggets, which I guarantee you we're going to get a different type of Denver Nuggets team. They'll come in probably as loose as they have all season. They know that their season is on the line. We'll probably get a much more loose, aggressive Denver Nuggets team that if they're going to go out, they're going to go out swinging. And if you're the Lakers, you got to play better basketball. That second half, you got to play better. You can't blow those 16-point leads. You can't have 24 turnovers. How many of those were just careless plays? And I got confidence that the Lakers will find a way to clean that stuff up by the time tomorrow night's game comes around. All right, Chris McGee, Lakers pre and post for Spectrum Sportsnet. Geeter, he's coming up next. As big as a Laker fan as you're going to get, I gotta get Chris's thoughts. How the hell did he do that post-game show afterwards after that shot? So we'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa on 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Anthony Davis, step back three-pointer. Good! Anthony Davis hits it. Timeout, Denver, and look out. The Lakers lead by 8 with 3:03 to go. Anthony Davis drives a stake into the heart of the Nugget.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. I want to welcome in Chris McGee, Lakers pre and post for Spectrum Sportsnet. Geeter, first of all, let me just say, I know there are no bigger fans than you when it comes to Los Angeles Lakers basketball. Can you just walk me through yesterday? What's going through your mind when Lakers are down 1, about to inbound the ball? Are you feeling good, or are you like, are you saying, did you feel that the series was about to be tied?
Alan, funny you should ask. I'm feeling very good, and then there's about 6 minutes and 30 seconds left.
Yep.
And I leave our conference room. That's when I go into the studio. I go in there first, put everything on, get all my paper situated. I plug in. I start watching the game and thinking about my thoughts and kind of like putting out the bullet points, what I think are the keys to the game and how I want to start the show. And the producer hops on and, you know, we got to add some highlights because it's called a cross roll, you know, because the highlights are already set, right? So the last 5 minutes is basically you writing it down what's going to be the highlight package.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling good. And then, I mean, Alan, I'm preparing for a Laker win.
Sure.
And it wasn't until Jokic hits that last shot and
that
they go
sky
up
hook.
Where
yep.
I start to go, we might lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna rethink everything because now everyone's in the studio. You know, Brez is in there, Karan's in there, James is in there. Everyone's in there by this time. There's 20 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
When that ball went out of bounds with 2 seconds, I was like,
serious
okay,
time.
There's one shot at it. But I wasn't panicking. I wasn't like, oh, this is it. Denver's for sure winning. But I just was like, man, I feel like we're going to win this series. We're rolling along. I'm just shocked it's 1-1. In my mind, that's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that shot went up, I can't tell you exactly what yelled. I'll tell you when I see you. But when he hit that shot.
We have a 7-second delay. You could say it. No, don't.
Holy bleep. Holy bleep. I mean, it was funny because James and I, we're saying, everyone was screaming, but James and I kept saying, oh, bleep,
mm-hmm.
oh. I mean, like, we were screaming. Mm. I mean, it was just pandemonium, the control room. Everyone's just going nuts. And then, you know, remember, it's not on our air, so all of a sudden it's going to come to us on our air for the postgame show, and it's like, okay, 30 seconds. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, welcome, Access Sportsnet Lakers. And it was just funny, you know, like, totally switching gears. But when that happens, you're like, this is 90 minutes of fun. There's no script. It's all good. Lakers win. Let's go. Like a loss, you're like thinking, overthinking it. You got to dissect it. Where did it go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
All that crap out. So it was so fun, man. So that's kind of how it went for me. That last 6 minutes and 30 seconds, I'm cruising. Get it down to 20. It's a panic. You know, it was pretty awesome.
Well, I love the way you describe it because I think, you know, listen, you're in a very unique spot. I always talk about it, how grateful I am to have the Lakers postgame show here on 710, but we are fans, you know what I mean? So what you're feeling and the way you described it is exactly what anybody who's sitting on their couch or driving in their car, whatever the case is, they have similar type of – they're feeling the same thing. But, Gita, I thought you said something there that we can all relate to. By the time it got down to 20 seconds and Jokic hit that shot, you know, you are kind of standing there saying, wait a minute, are we – can we lose this game? And then with 2 seconds left before the inbounds, in my mind, I'm saying, okay, well, we might have a series here that I just wasn't expecting. And like you said, it's like it just hit you over the head and you weren't really paying attention to it. But you got to give Denver credit for the way they keep fighting back. But in the playoffs, in the postseason, you've been watching Lakers basketballs and just sports in general. Sometimes it doesn't matter how you get it. You just freaking walk away with a win and Lakers did that last night.
Listen, you said it right there, Alan. It doesn't matter how you get it. Nobody cares how you won game two. It's about winning when it comes to the playoffs. And you said something that was so interesting. That's where my mind started racing. When Jokic hit the shot and then Caruso misses and it goes out of bounds, like, okay, wait, 16-point lead twice, 8-point lead with 3:03 left.
Yep.
So now my whole thought process is more the show. Okay, we're going to talk about not scoring for 3 minutes, right? You know what I mean, Al? Like, it started to like totally shift from like, damn, the Lakers are so good, to how'd they lose this game? What happened offensively, right? It's such a mind, you know what? It's just so, listen, and you and I are in unique positions. It's funny, you know. I'm not afraid anymore to just say how I feel on Twitter, right? Like, we're having so much fun. We haven't been here in a long time. I'll say stuff that maybe other, you know, broadcasters who are biased won't say, and you know, you'll get the feedback, oh, you're a cheerleader, oh, nice professionalism, you're a fan. And I'm like, dude, there's so much more going on in this world. Like, it's okay to have fun in sports and troll and do that and do what we do. It's the NBA. It's part of the culture. And you know what, man, when the Clippers lost, I had a blast with it, and then I moved on. I respect the Nuggets immensely. But when AD hits that shot, I'm going to have a lot of fun with it. AD's a Laker. This and that. Like, that's just for me what it's about, man. Like, that's, we've been through a lot in this last year, and it's changed how I look at things. And I'm going to have fun doing it. And I'm not afraid to say to any other team or any other fans or anybody else that, you know, job down the road, like, yeah, man. Like, I grew up loving the Lakers, like literally out of the womb. Like, my dad, God rest his soul. Like, we lived and breathed every second. My brother, my mom, like all my buddies. So yeah, dude, when they hit a shot like that, I'm screaming it from the mountaintop, and then I'm going to host a show, and it's awesome.
But you know what, Geeter, that's part of the authenticity. I think, you know, you're just, you're being honest. It's not like you're, there's nothing that you're faking or anything like that. And listen, I bring it up because I'm always curious, when I get your take, it's going to be different if I'm, you know, grabbing a beat writer or something along those lines that grew up in a different state. So I'm always curious on your take, because I think you have that perspective.
Yeah, it's different for them than me and you, right? And that's great. And we'll have talks about it, debates about it. You know, you think of Pete, Laker Film Room, right? Like, growing up a Laker fan and now like living his dream and working for the Lakers. And, you know, all of us, we all grew up on Chick. And one thing, sure, I don't care what you call me, fanboy, cheerleader, dude, I don't care. But you know what? I'm going to tell the truth.
Sure.
When the Lakers don't play well and they lose, I'm going to let you know.
Sure.
I'm going to let you know what I think. I respect the hell out of the Nuggets. I'll continue to say that. But Chick always told it how it was. And that's just kind of how we were raised. So, like, yeah, I'm a homer. Yeah, I want to win. I'm competitive. I love it. It's more fun for my shows when they win. We get better ratings when they win. It's like it's pandemonium. But when they lose, then we're going to talk about it. Like, I'm not going to cheat you on that. So, for me, it's like, man, it's okay, dude, to love a team and be a part of that and feel it, in my opinion.
Chris McGee, Lakers pre and post for Spectrum Sportsnet, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Geeter, I spent some time on this that I loved. That final shot, that it was Anthony Davis. I thought it was more than just a buzzer beater. The fact that it was AD, Western Conference Finals, Lakers up 2-0, but just kind of the predicament, the situation. He's never been in this position before. You know, this is going to be the future for he's the present and the future for the Lakers. Do you agree with me on that? That the fact that it was AD.
I think, you know, the reason why you're in your position, Alan, to be honest with you, is you, number one, you know the sport, but you also can see big picture. You understand the nuances. And it's funny you say that. We all felt the same way in the studio. Karan said it. James said it. I said it. We all wanted the ball to go to AD. Now, everyone knows Frank's got to call a play for LeBron, at least as the number one option. The fact that it went to AD is really what everyone wanted. It was his time. He's only played 13 playoff games coming into this year. I don't care what anybody says. Yes, LeBron will always be the first one talked about. Same with Kawhi with the Clippers. Same with, you know, whatever star is playing. But we all know the spotlight's on AD because here he is in L.A. in your first go-around, Western Conference Finals. You've never been there. Every single guy that's a made man, every single big-time Hall of Famer that goes down as an all-time great, every champion has that moment. Has that moment, and you're not going to win every time. You're going to fail sometimes, but to have that signature moment, that was it. And by the way, he saw it. He went on a curl. And how about Rondo telling Frank, can I go in the game for the pass? Should I go in the pass? Frank's like, yeah. I mean, that's coaching, right? Like, yeah. Actually, mm-hmm. you can. Like, you know, I like coaches that aren't afraid to admit that. Like, yeah, absolutely. Great idea. Let's go. And then Rondo delivers a bounce pass, a casual, beautiful bounce pass in his pocket. I mean, how good is that? And then the turn, fire, bang in front of their sideline. Dude, Allen, signature moment for his career. That's going to be one of the moments they show.
Yeah, and it's funny because when you mention Rondo right there, so easily we forget like how many different things have to go your way in order to get that play off the right way. How many times it could be an inbounds play that's tipped and then yep. the game's over, or a screen that's not made, or whatever the case is. But that's a good point on Rondo, and definitely what Rondo's done since he came back against Houston. I feel like every time I do a post game, and you say. Rondo 8 assists, 9 assists, 10 assists. So he's definitely doing exactly what the Lakers need him to do.
And listen, make no mistake. I said this the other night on the show. Regular season Rondo has frustrated everyone. Mm-hmm. Now, I have always been a Rondo advocate because I know what he can bring, but there's also been frustration. Regular season Rondo doesn't play like that every night, right? Mm-hmm. But every 6-7 games or so, he has that magical game that reminds you of what he can bring. He's also fought a lot of injuries since he's been a Laker. That's been frustrating for everybody. But you've seen the value of this guy in the playoffs, and you cannot put a price on it. And guess who loves playing with him? AD and LeBron, and that's
absolutely
what matters.
Absolutely.
You, us fans, we don't matter. Those guys love playing with him for a reason, dude. Did you see that smirk on his face when AD hit the shot? I mean, guys are dogpiling, knocking
each
other over.
He was walking casually.
Full mock hit, and he's walking with that look like, yeah, dude. Yeah, that's what happened. I mean, it's incredible. Incredible. And yeah, man, that pass was perfect. As you said, like, listen, it takes a lot to happen there. Like, you got to think about LeBron too much and maybe double him. Plumlee mm-hmm. get lost. Jokic come late. Like, all that stuff has to go right. It was so cool, man. What a moment.
Geeter, you know, actually, it's a good point on Rondo, too. AD said yesterday after the game, after Jokic scored on him, Rondo said, okay, go get one on the other end. So it's all those kind of little nuances that that maybe we don't see while the game is going on. Chris McGee, Lakers pre and post for Spectrum Sportsnet, joining Lakers Talk. Geeter, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but it just naturally happens. You know, here the Lakers are. They don't have to face the Milwaukee Bucks, the Toronto Raptors, the Los Angeles Clippers. And I think if you would have thought before the season started that not three of those teams won a championship, best record, and of course the Clippers, that they weren't going to be in your path to win an NBA championship. And the Lakers are just 6 games away from having that opportunity. Are you thinking that far down the road? Or are you as, you know, I'm just kind of trying to gauge it here. Is it, you know, how we always say from a player's perspective, they're always just thinking of the next day. I'm looking that far, and I just see this path that I just did not expect that opened up for the Lakers.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, a coach many, many years at the juniors, you know, basketball level, but volleyball as well, and was able to fortunately win a few junior Olympics. And every single time when you're coaching, you see your path. And sometimes it's a path that you just cannot imagine. It's so tough and you get through it. Other times teams lose and fall away and it just rolls your way. And it's tough not to look at that and tell your players to not look at it. As fans, we have in media, we have, dude, of course, I mean, for me, man, like Alan, when you're playing the Blazers and it's the first round, you can't think that far.
Sure.
And then you get to the second round, you start to go, oh my God, is it going to be a Clipper-Laker final, like a Western Conference final? How
right,
amazing would that be?
Right.
And all of a sudden, here you are at 2-0, Allen, and you're going, you know what? You got to win now.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's real. Now you can see the light. Let's go. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I look at it. I think the players, it's so hard, but that's why where they are, you have to take it one game at a time, and you cannot look ahead. But me and you, dude, it's right there for the taking, right? Like, this is it.
You said it best right there, expectation-wise. It's the only disappointment now is if you don't win it all. Geeter, final one.
Oh, dude.
No.
You win it now, you're bombed.
Exactly. Yeah. Final one, just your thoughts, and this will go to the thinking ahead. If you had a preference, what matchup would you prefer in the finals, Miami or Boston?
Man, I've just been taught my entire life.
I'm with you.
To never, ever, ever say who you want to play. But I will tell you this. You always know who you match up better with,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that's the thing. So as a player, I know I would have my preference. As a coach, I know I would. But in my position, fan, media member, bring it on. I don't care. Obviously, Boston would be incredible. Mm-hmm. To get number 17, beating the Boston Celtics, please give me that. But I'll say this. It's so hard not rooting for the Heat. Mm-hmm. Number one, I've never rooted for Boston to win in my life. Mm-hmm. I never root for the Clippers to win. It's just, it's okay. I want everyone to understand that. Like, it's okay to not want a team to win ever because you were raised that way. Don't be sensitive. Don't get your feelings hurt. Deal with it and enjoy it. If you weren't good, nobody would care about you. When you're good, we don't like you. So take it as a compliment. Boston, I never want you to win, but bring it, please. If not, I'll take Pat Riley, Spo, Jimmy Buckets. I love watching that team. And Lakers are rolling. I don't care who they play, they're winning. I'm telling you right now, Geeter,
we are in for a good few weeks here. So let's buckle up, see what happens over the next couple of weeks. I appreciate it as always. I enjoy watching you on Spectrum Sportsnet. Thanks for doing this, bud.
Alan, love you, man. Great show. Love having you on our show. You know that. Keep doing what you do, and let's hopefully be celebrating. But, you know, one game at a time. Six to go, my brother.
Yes, sir. All right, Geeter. Thank you, bud.
Later.
All right, that's Chris McGee right there, Lakers pre and post for Spectrum Sportsnet. Okay, this is a perfect transition for me. Miami or Boston? If you have a preference here in the NBA Finals, am I already looking towards the NBA Finals? Yes, I am already looking over. It's 2-0 here. Denver's not taking 4 or 5 from the Lakers. Would you rather face the Miami Heat?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Or the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals, 877-710-ESPN. We'll talk about it coming up next. This is Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa on 710-ESPN. All right, so Lakers got Game 3 tomorrow, 6 p.m. tip-off, 4 o'clock pregame show with myself and Michael Thompson. And then Wednesday, what's today? Monday. So Wednesday will be Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. So if you're out there driving around, listening on 710 ESPN or on the ESPN app, who would you rather face, the Miami Heat or the Boston Celtics? 877-710-ESPN. Aaron in Pasadena, appreciate you calling in, bud. Go ahead.
How you doing, Alan?
Doing okay, man. What's your preference? What are you thinking?
We got to go with the Boston Celtics. It's kind of a rite of passage thing. Hmm. Going all the way back, all of our superstars went through the Celtics, and this team has to go and beat the Celtics for number 17. There's nothing better than that.
Well, Aaron, listen, that could very well happen. Appreciate you calling in, by the way. Let me give a little bit of my thoughts on this one, okay? So there's two ways to look at this. Number one, first, let me just be clear. I picked Miami in 6 games, so I think just naturally right there, I think the Heat will beat Boston, even though this series probably is changing. Gordon Hayward coming back, it could be just a big difference for the Boston Celtics. But whether it's Pat Riley and the Miami Heat, Pat Riley versus the Lakers, LeBron versus old team, let's just say hypothetically it's the Miami Heat, I'm okay with that. And let me explain why I'm okay with that. Do I want it to be Boston? Of course I do. Do I want the Lakers to win championship number 17 against the Boston Celtics? Of course I do. But you see, I'm a cautious, very cautious, very cautious Laker fan. You never know what happens in a series. What if, let's just say it's Lakers and Boston and Lakers just don't match up well, which I don't think that's going to happen. It's really Boston that's going to have issues with the Lakers. But anything can happen in a series. So it's also that fear of potentially something happening in Boston miraculously getting championship number 18. It's 16-17 right now. If you can guarantee yourself that you know Boston doesn't have a shot, but I also get it the other way. I get that you want to get it against the Boston Celtics. You want to do it against Danny Ainge, and you know, obviously, to tie the Boston Celtics, the fact that it would be LeBron James doing it against Boston, we know the battles they used to have in the Eastern Conference, the fact that it could potentially be Rajon Rondo, who had a championship for Boston, coming back and winning a championship against Boston. I know there's a lot of incredible storylines. It's just going to be a matter of can the Boston Celtics come back in that series, which I actually think they have a very good chance. They have an incredible likelihood that they would have that opportunity to come back in that series. But either way, I mean, honestly, however you look at it, however you look at this series, or however you look at the finals, there's going to be storylines. You're just not going to have any storyline better than if it was the Boston Celtics. By the way, coming up, Stu Lance, Lakers TV color commentator on Spectrum Sportsnet. Do you know that Stu Lance has been doing that gig since 1987? That's how long he's been the color commentator for the Los Angeles Lakers. I got a quick Stu Lance story. Quick chicken Stu story. So back in the days, I grew up down in San Diego. And San Diego has, as you guys are aware, because the Lakers used to play preseason games down there, the Sports Arena. Probably one of the worst stadiums in the country, maybe second to Qualcomm, which is also in San Diego. San Diego competing for worst possible worst stadiums in the country, two of them located in San Diego. So I used to go with my parents and my sister, all of us Laker fans. So back when I was, I don't know, 10, 11 years old, and I'd tell the fam, be like, all right, when the game's done, we got to go say hi to Chick Hearn and Stu Lance. Just a quick hello. And my mom and dad are sitting back. They're like, what kind of kid did we raise here? We got to wait a half hour after the game ends? Get the hell in the car and let's get home. So they would do it. And every single time, it was just one of my favorite stories as a kid growing up. Every time, and I would just wait. They would do their post game. I think it was just kind of a little bit of their recap. Let's say it took 15, 20 minutes, whatever the case is. And I'd go down in the little media area that they have, introduce myself to Chick, introduce myself to Stu, and really just a hello, love this, Lakers are great, all that stuff, and then that was it. But those moments stick with you. Those are the type of moments where, and I'm sure Laker fans, I see a lot of times when I'm doing the pregame show with Michael Thompson, I see people that want to come up and say hello to Michael Thompson, or they want to come say hello to John Ireland, and that means something to them. Coming up next, I can't wait to talk to Stu Lance, Lakers TV color commentator on Spectrum Sportsnet. Been doing color commentating since 1987 for the Lakers. That's all coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa on 710 ESPN.